Five expenses that rich people avoid at all costs. That's today's video. Let's dive into it. Hey everyone, I'm Clayton Morris, longtime investor and passive income fighter. I want you to build financial intelligence. So if you are new to the channel, go ahead and subscribe. Now, if you're new and you don't know my story, let's rewind a little bit here. When I was 30 years old, I had a six-figure job in the television business and lost my job. Contract not renewed. Done. And so I vowed then, that day, that I was never going to work for another person who would control my destiny. I was going to find a way to build passive income every day. I was going to build cash flow every month. And I was going to change my own destiny, not have some boss telling me what to do. So that's the whole point of this channel. If you're new here, thank you so much for joining us. And I love to have you on this journey with us. So today we're going to talk about five key areas that I make sure as a wealthy individual I don't waste my money on. And time and time again, when I've interviewed celebrities, senators, presidents of the United States, it doesn't matter who I've interviewed, entrepreneurs, they all have a common theme running through the things that they don't waste money on. And so I picked five key areas where rich people don't spend money, five key expenses that they avoid at all costs. Number one on the list is things. I know that's kind of a nebulous term, things, but they don't waste their money on crap, on things. Take, for example, a friend of mine, Jim Cook. He's the founder of Samuel Adams. I've had a number of times to be able to hang out with Jim, and he's an incredibly down-to-earth, kind human being. But he's an entrepreneur, and he doesn't waste his money on crap. In fact, in his great book, my wife got this for me for Christmas last year, he talks about the growth of Samuel Adams and how he created the company. But he also talks about his entrepreneurial journey and the things that he doesn't waste his money on. And he talks about not wasting his money on clothing. He talks about not wasting his money on crap, on things. And you know what? When he travels, I started to do the Jim Cook approach to travel over the past year. He brings one pair of pants and he puts them in a little carry-on duffel bag that he carries, like a little briefcase almost. And he carries like one shirt and just a little toiletry bag. He carries nothing. And he also, by the way, doesn't have much. Every time I see him, he's wearing the same pair of pants. He's the CEO. He's the founder of Samuel Adams, the best domestic brewed beer in America. And here he is with one pair of pants. So he's not wasting his money on clothing subscriptions and all kinds of crap on a regular basis. He's not wasting his money on these little bits and bobs. You don't see people like this on those hoarder shows. In fact, a common theme that I hear from entrepreneurs that I talk to, wealthy entrepreneurs, is that they have a sort of minimalist approach to their wealth, right? That they have their iPad that they maybe run their company on. They have that one favorite leather bag that they carry. They have their phone, and they don't have much else. They do not waste money on things. Jim Cook, a perfect example from Sam Adams, a guy I emulate. I'd love to be able to travel like him. One pair of shoes, one pair of pants, one belt, and that's it. And he says, you know what? If I spill something on the pants, I get them washed. Exactly. We don't need to bring 10 pairs of pants on a trip across the world. Number two on the list, major expense that wealthy people do not get bogged down in, mortgage debt. Now look, you've heard me here on the channel before, and this is not the time for it right now. Check out the video I've done where your home is not an asset, okay? You need to watch that. That's the difference between the poor and middle class and wealthy people. You know, the poor and the middle class think that the home you live in is an asset, that the home you live in is the American dream, right? Nothing could be further from the truth. In fact, the mortgage debt that you have saddled on top, where you're living in that home, every month, you're paying a mortgage, you're paying property taxes, you're paying for the upkeep of your primary property that you live in. It's not putting cash in your pocket every month, okay? It's actually taking money away from you. So you know the rule, right? Passive income and cash flow, that is how you measure a performing asset. The home you live in is not a performing asset. And time again, from the wealthy and entrepreneurs that I talk to, a common theme runs through their entire portfolio of wealth building, which is they don't own the home they live in. Number of wealthy real estate investors that I know live in a beautiful home they rent, a dream home that they rent, but they do not own it. And they have performing assets, hundreds of them, that are bringing in monthly cash flow that provide their lifestyle. And they don't get bogged down and tied to that mortgage debt. Now, I'm not saying you can't have a mortgage, right? You can't have a home that you live in that you pay a mortgage. But make sure, and if the wealthy people that I know that do this, they have performing assets that are completely covering and paying for that mortgage debt. Understand? That every month they've got maybe 10, 15, 20 rental properties that are providing cash flow coming in every month that completely cover that mortgage debt. But if you are buried under that mortgage debt, try to get rid of it. Try to sell that place. Try to get out from under it and rent, okay? I know so many people think about those millennials that don't want to own properties and they live in downtown condos in these up-and-coming neighborhoods. They're actually the smart ones right now. They are not saddled by mortgage debt. They're renting, they get to pick and choose where they live, and they can buy performing assets with the down payment that they would have otherwise spent on that mortgage, on that house that they are going to live in that's not going to produce cash flow. Number three on the list is college debt. Look, this is an unpopular discussion, just like the mortgage debt discussion, but wealthy people simply don't have college debt. Another big part of this is that a lot of wealthy people either never went to college or they were smart enough before they ever went to know the return on investment of that college. Now, let's get into this discussion, okay? I've done a video here where we've talked, my wife and I've gotten into an argument about, you know, I'm talking about art, you know, art school in college. And she's saying, hey, don't pick on art school. And my point wasn't picking on art school. My point was the return on investment for paying $150,000 to go to that college, to that art school, you're never going to get that return on investment. That ROI is never going to come back. I'm sorry. It's just not. So if you know ahead of time going into college that this $350,000 debt you're about to take on to become a doctor or a lawyer is going to yield that much maybe per year in salary after you get out, then it makes sense. What do I mean by that? Well, if you know it's going to cost $350,000 for you to go to this, you know, 8 years of college or 5 years or whatever for law school, okay, and you know that's how much debt you're going to leave with. You're going to be saddled with that debt now when you start out into the real world. You get that first job at that law firm. Are you going to start to make $200,000 and $250,000 a year that can begin to pay down that debt pretty rapidly over the first few years? If not, if you are going to art school, God help you, that's great, right? If you're going to be saddled with $150,000 in debt, then you get out of college, how are you going to make that money? How are you going to start to pay that huge debt back? You're getting started on the wrong foot. So pay attention to the ROI when you're going to college. I mean, at the end of the day, are you there just to have fun and play with kittens in college? You're going to be walking with hundreds of thousands of dollars in student loan debt. Is the ROI there? Wealthy people understand the when they make this decision, it's got to be based on return on investment. So you might ask yourself the question, am I better served, I don't know, watching some YouTube videos or going to some local art classes or figuring out another way to learn that art skill that you're desiring? Is it worth $150,000? And then are you going to be able to make that money back in order to pay that debt off? Good questions. College debt, number three on the list. Today's episode is brought to you by my favorite home security system, SimpliSafe. And if you stick around, I'm going to tell you how you're going to get one risk-free for 60 days so you can try it out and just see how awesome it is. You know, a few years ago, we had a home security system installed, and they have to come out to the house. A guy had to run wires behind drywall, and it was super expensive. Anytime you have to call a guy to come out to your house, you know it's going to be expensive. And guess what? SimpliSafe is the exact opposite of that. There's no running wires. There's no contract. So there's no hidden fees. You don't have to deal with all of that stuff. You can cancel at any time. And right out of the box, it's incredibly simple to set up. You just download the SimpliSafe app on your phone and you set up the main hub where it plugs in and it makes a nice little chime, lets you know that you're connected. You stick to your sticky pad, your keypad for your entranceway, wherever you want it, just with little stickies. You don't have to drill holes in the wall unless you want to. You can if you want to. I didn't. And then you set up the camera. You can set up the motion sensors. You can set up things on your windows. What I love about SimpliSafe, and you'll learn it from their website, is that it's expandable. You can do as much as you want or as little as you want, and you can get full coverage. And the police show up to SimpliSafe calls 3.5 times faster than they do for other home security systems. You know why? Because they use video verification to make sure there's an actual human being in your house breaking in and not like a cat knocking over a vase. So that's why they are so reliable and the police are dispatched much more quickly when they know it's a SimpliSafe call. That's right. And according to the FBI, right now, America has gotten pretty dangerous. And the average loss in a burglary is over $2,000. And there are over 2 million burglaries reported every year. That's one every 13 seconds. Is your home protected? Well, it can be. And you can get a 60-day risk-free trial right now by going to simplysafe.com/investing. Simplysafe.com/investing. That's simplysafe.com/investing. Check it out. It's super easy to set up. You will thank me later. Number four, social events. Wealthy people don't spend money on social events. I know that seems strange, right? You're like, I'm sure I've seen lots of rich people parties and so forth. Very often, those rich people parties end up being sponsored events. Okay, so when they're putting on a big event for a launch of a book or this and that, they're getting the alcohol company to sponsor a portion of it. Are there signs up from other advertising that are sponsoring this event? So they're not coming out of pocket to sponsor an event. A number of years ago when I launched an iPhone app, and we had a number of people involved in the process, we're doing launch parties for different apps that we had built. And guess what? The alcohol companies that were super excited about sponsoring these different events put their signs up, serve their special martini. They're paying for the room because they know 300 people are going to be there. You don't have to come out of pocket to do it. But even beyond just like the social events and the social parties, rich people also, they don't waste money on those big weddings. I've heard this time and time again, that rich people save their money on those big weddings. So imagine a wedding costs $50,000, right? I've heard this repeatedly where the father says, hey, I could give you $50,000, but I'm probably not going to. I could give you this $50,000, or we could take this $50,000 as an investment into a rental property or into multiple properties that are going to produce a cash flow every month for you and your new husband, that you're going to be set off on the right foot because of that investment. And guess what? Then that father is also then taking a note on the property, okay? Putting a mortgage note on the property, and a portion of the rent is then being used to pay back the father. So he's not coming really out of pocket for 50. He's actually turning that into an investment passively for himself. I've heard from multiple couples who decided to not spend that huge down payment on a wedding and instead use that as purchase for rental property or other investing assets. So rich people just simply save money on these social events and they're not splurging and wasting them. The middle class spend tons of money on weddings and they have very little to show for it, sadly. Number five on my list is one of my favorites. Of course, you know, if you're a subscriber to this channel, I talk about taxes all the time. And our great accountant that we work with, Tom Wheelwright, probably the smartest tax accountant in the country. You got to check out his book below, Tax-Free Wealth. If you haven't read it, it's a game changer. Wealthy people simply know how to play the tax game. The tax code in this country is written to make you wealthy. Very small portion of the tax code is actually written to take money from you. The majority of the tax code is written to incentivize you to start a business. So wealthy people know that they run most of their expenses through their business. They start a business, an LLC, that, you know, then of course you have the liability protection, but then your office expenses, your printing supplies, the gas in your car, the insurance on the house, your internet, your newspaper subscriptions, your Netflix subscriptions. If it falls under that business expense category, guess what? It reduces your taxable burden. It reduces your overall taxable income from your W-2 job, and then you pay less in taxes. Now, if you're a real estate investor like me, or you're a savvy real estate investor out there, chances are you're paying nothing in taxes because you're acquiring real estate. You're acquiring assets, performing assets that are, of course, offsetting the amount you're going to be paying in taxes. The old saying in real estate, buy until you die. It makes a boatload of sense because you're mitigating your taxable burden for the rest of your life. And it becomes, as Tom Wheelwright likes to say, a bit of an addiction. because you are buying every year, because the acquisition of new property that you can depreciate rapidly is an offset to the income that you're making from your rental income. That's exactly what we do. So there you go. Number five on the list, taxes. I see this all the time. I really sadly see it all the time. For those people who don't have a business, who aren't wealthy, who aren't savvy, financially intelligent, for people that don't watch this channel, they're paying a boatload in taxes. They're doing it all wrong. They're doing it all wrong, but not you, because you subscribe to this channel and you know how to build up your financial intelligence. Thank you so much. If you're not already a subscriber, smash that subscribe button. Thank you. And like this video, please, and share it. We'll see you next time here on the channel. Now go out there, take action, become a real estate investor. I believe it's the number one way to build wealth. We'll see you next time.